We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to Brooklyn Buzz. I'm Nick Fay. With me, as always, Jack Manuel. And Jack, we saw the Nets fall to the Bucks in Game 6, 104-89. Series now tied 3-3. Game 7 will be in Brooklyn on Saturday. How are you feeling, Jack?
My Joe Harris fandom is waning.
Yeah, tough game for Joe. Tough series for Joe. We'll jump into that and plenty more. You can find the Brooklyn Buzz on all streaming platforms. But, Jack, where do we start?
Look, it was Kevin Durant and no one else tonight, Nick, because he did everything that he could. Obviously, he couldn't produce the heroics that he did in Game 5, but he certainly put up the numbers that we expect from a guy like him. But we didn't have a Jeff Green tonight. You know, I thought James Harden was admirable in his absence, but outside of, I guess, a little bit of here, a little bit of there, there wasn't enough. There wasn't anyone sort of co-signing, you know, Kevin Durant and his greatness. And you know, against a team like the Milwaukee Bucks, who plays well enough and it looks they don't deserve to be where they are, given the Brooklyn Nets and their injuries and everything that's been happening with them. But they're doing enough to get the win, and the Nets aren't playing well enough outside of our lone superstar.
Yeah, I mean, that's really it, Jack. The Nets are not producing enough offense. You know, 89 points. Like, we've seen them score, I think, 80 twice in the series now. And obviously, a lot of that is due to injuries. You know, with just James Harden and Kevin Durant alone, you feel like that offensive pop would be there. James Harden, you know, had some good moments in this game, but again, can't really run, can't put much pressure or explosion on that hamstring. So he's limited out there. You know, we talked about Joe Harris struggling, Landry Shamet struggling. You got a little production out of Blake Griffin, but he's not going to give you a ton at this point in his career. And you mentioned it, Jeff Green didn't match that performance, which you didn't anticipate. It felt like in this one for Jeff Green, I'm not giving him a pass. You know, I expect him to play a little bit better, but it seemed like his foot was bothering him a little bit more. Saw him grimacing a little bit, coming down from some high jumps on rebounds or whatever it was. So just a lot of issues in Brooklyn right now, and they just desperately need someone to step up, not named Kevin Durant. That's really what it is. You know, we know what KD can produce. Like you said, 32 points, 15 of 30 from the field, 2 of 8 from 3, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, did have 7 turnovers. Some credit to the Bucks defense. Some of that was KD being a little bit sloppy, but, you know, it's not going to be enough. You know, KD could have probably dropped 50 in this game, and the Nets probably would have lost, because that's just how little of production they're getting from the rest of the team.
Yeah, James Harden was the next best scorer on one hamstring with 16 points. And he had, you know, he had 14 of those in the first half. It was 5 of 7 from the field. Now, he ended up 5 of 9, hit a couple of free throws later on, 3 of 6 from 3. It seems to me that all those buckets were on Giannis, Mr. AKA No Bag Giannis, Greek Freak Antetokounmpo. But look, you can't ask more from James Harden, because him playing is something nothing short of miraculous. Jeff Green, similar. You know, it needs to be Joe Harris. It needs to be someone off the bench, a Landry Shamet or whatever. I'm going to give Landry somewhat of a pass just because of the lack of rhythm that he's getting. But, you know, it has to be him. It has to be Joe. One of those guys, just hit a couple of threes for us. Give us a bit of rhythm, because, look, after the ridiculously stupid, inept foul by Joe Harris now on Chris Middleton, the Bucks went on a 14-0 run, and the Nets lost by 15, Nick. You know, they cut it down to 5. You know, they went on all these little mini runs that the Bucks went on. The Nets were able to respond in some sort of way, but they just opened up with just low, inept, low IQ, no basketball feel, dumb plays by Joe Harris and others.
Yeah, and Jack, it kind of gets to a point too, is obviously Joe Harris with the dumb fouls, and there was a lot of offensive rebounds that kind of allowed the Bucks to prevent that big Nets run, because like you said, in that specific play, it felt like the Nets were about to pop the top in the game. Joe Harris finally hit it at three, and then the next possession he fouls Middleton on just a play that's stupid, and it's just something he typically doesn't do. You know, occasionally he'll foul in the closeout, but he had his hand in the cookie basket for essentially no reason. He's not going to steal the basketball, something he's tried to do a little bit too much this series. It's just like some of the smaller elements in this game, they're not even, you know, executing in comparison to just the offense. And like you said, someone's going to need to step up. It kind of leads me to the Chris Middleton thing. It's like we talked about it in the preview with Matt Brooks. We talked about it on different recaps. Middleton's the guy that you really need to slow down. And he's been excellent in Milwaukee. And some of that is him hitting tough shots, but some of that is just the Nets giving him open shots. Like, he's the one guy who can consistently knock down threes. And there was a back-to-back possession in the first half of this game where he got two wide-open threes. He finished the game with 38 points, 11 of 16 from the field, 5 of 8 from three, 11 of 12 from the free throw line. A lot of those were on three-point fouls, which, you know, maybe one or two were iffy, but for the most part, they were fouls. So it's just like the Nets gifted Chris Middleton 38 points. They did not make his life difficult in any way.
Yeah, we've talked about it. Chris Middleton is the key to this series. Jrue Holiday, despite his round one performance, has not been himself since that series. Giannis, no bag under the Kumpo. You know, no bag, ladies and gentlemen. I'll put it out there. No cap for the no bag. He's been, you know, he's going to get his own because he's got big muscles. But other than that, you know, we talked about, you know, how early in the series, you know, the Nets made life tough for Chris Middleton. He would be the key to the series. You know, he's their best shot maker. Down the clutch, he's going to be the guy. And, you know, he did nothing in game five of the sort. But you give guys an opportunity to get into rhythm, it's going to allow them to get into rhythm. You know, Chris Middleton's better than Joe Harris. He's getting open shots. He's going to hit them. You know, it's just, I think that the Nets didn't give themselves much of a chance tonight. You know, the Bucks didn't play great basketball either. The fact that the Nets were able to hang around for so long, despite not really getting in out of like first or second gear, you know, is it credit to them or a discredit to the Bucks? I don't know, one or the other. But yeah, it's just pretty simple, Nick. You know, for the Bucks, stop KD. For the Nets, stop Chris Middleton.
Yeah, I mean, it is pretty simple. Obviously, the Nets still need to produce more offense, but I think that's a big component. You know what I mean? And I think Chris Middleton, like we saw in some of the Nets' wins, those double teams had frustrated him, forced him into some bad passes, kind of forced him into some tough isolations. But when he's going against smaller defenders and Joe Harris and Landry Shamet, he looks very comfortable. You know, maybe that means play Bruce Brown more. Maybe that means play Nick Claxton. I'm not really sure. But his life is just kind of too easy at this point. And you can't ask Kevin Durant really to defend him because you need KD's rim protection so bad. And obviously he's one of the only players really tall enough to defend Brook Lopez in different aspects as well. So it's like the Nets really need two Kevin Durants in this situation to deal with Chris Middleton. But again, just guys have to step up and be better, and they have to try to disrupt him a little bit more.
Why did Bruce Brown only play 5 minutes?
I would just guess that Steve Nash has kind of looked at it from an offensive perspective. I think it's just
you're giving Joe Harris 36 minutes. Look, again, like this is going to be an unrecognizable Jack Manuel on this podcast, ladies and gentlemen, because I wasn't on the episode 5 podcast, the game five podcast. Sorry, but Joe Harris is. I showed a level of enthusiasm and motivation and positivity in the morning, and then even another little pre-game, little rev up. But, you know, I need to remain a sense of objectivity about how poorly Joe Harris has been. And if you're giving 38 minutes and you're getting 1 of 4 from three from him and countless after countless defensive lapses where you've got Bruce Brown sitting there on the bench who is at the very least a feisty dude and it's going to get you some offensive boards, an area where the Nets wane tonight, and provide an area of physicality and get into Chris Middleton's grill and make things tough for him in a way that, you know, it's, I guess, similar to PJ Tucker in this series before he's on Kevin Durant. I don't understand that, Nick. And to me, it makes little to no sense.
Yeah, I feel like Steve Nash doubled down on Joe Harris tonight. He was like, you know what, I'm going to
double down, quadruple down, quintuple down. All of the downs, mate. There's too many downs. It needs to be up on Bruce Brown.
Yeah, I think it's just like he doesn't want to lose his confidence. He was hoping he'd bounce back because I think we talked about it. The Nets desperately need him to be good because he has that offensive potential. But like you said, you know, if you go into game 7 and Joe seems like he doesn't have it and he's making these mistakes, it just might make sense to play Bruce Brown and try to grind out the game and grit it out, because that might be your best opportunity. I think Brown provides you, at least like you mentioned, some of the rebounding defensively. He's an upgrade. And then I think he's also a better screen setter. You know, obviously Joe Harris is good in that aspect as well. But I think Bruce Brown, with the physicality of PJ Tucker, you kind of need somebody with those broad shoulders that are going to kind of like create space for Kevin Durant. So definitely an aspect to consider. And that's what's really hurting the Nets right now, is they're not getting much production from these three guards, be it Landry Shamet, Joe Harris, and Bruce Brown, because obviously in the previous games, he hasn't really performed super well either. So it's like, if one of these guys can step up for game seven, you feel a lot better about the Nets' chances to win.
And there have been games this series where Bruce and KD have had a decent 1-2, yep, 1-2 sort of game. You know, Matt Brooks did a little bit of analysis.
Game three.
Yeah, game three, a really good analysis of that. So it's not to say that Bruce can't. And, you know, if Bruce's shot, Bruce doesn't have a shot that he needs to fall to get some sense of rhythm. Landry Shamet needs that. Joe Harris needs that more than, you know, I need, you know, love in my life. That's where I'm just like, this is where the series where you look to a Terrence Mann type. And Bruce Brown has been Terrence Mann has been compared to as the Bruce Brown of the, yep, Clippers. And it's just, I don't understand, like, you know, the all offense, you know, when the Nets offense wasn't working. And it's not like Bruce Brown has no offensive back. You know, he's decent decision maker in the short role. He's physical. He's going to get you offensive boards and extra possessions. And, you know, if you're looking at the field goal tonight, Nick, you know, there wasn't much of a difference. The Nets went 36 of 81. The Bucks went 37 of 82. It's just that the physicality of the Milwaukee Bucks and the extra possessions on the boards, you know, 15 offensive boards to 9, as well as shooting 28 free throws to 14. That's the difference in the game. And I think, you know, a lot of that was just dumb defensive plays from some of our players. And obviously just a lack of desire and a lack of team boxing out that we saw probably in earlier stages of this series.
Yep. And I think also from some of the other guys, you know, in James Harden, Kevin Durant, they looked a little bit fatigued in some of the rebounding aspect. But like you said, other guys need to step up. And that's really just what they're not getting. Like, as good as any superstar can be, we've seen this a million times with guys across the league. Like, you can only do so much as one player. Yeah, Kevin Durant had a god mode performance in game five. But even then, Jeff Green still put up 27 and was 7 of 8 from deep. Like, if you're getting no other production, it's just extremely difficult to win. I mean, ideally, the best thing that could probably happen to Brooklyn in game seven would be just a hot shooting start from three, because there's numerous guys that can get hot and knock down shots. But right now, that's their best avenue of offense against this Bucks team that is still, you know, talented. They haven't necessarily played up to their highest level, and they definitely have been coached to their highest level, but they still have a lot of good players in that team. And the Nets right now are obviously shorthanded, missing Kyrie Irving. And like we mentioned, James Harden kind of a shell of himself right now, and other guys kind of banged up as well, including Jeff Green.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, someone's going to have to step up, Nick. You know, the occasion to call for it. And look, I like what Blake has been providing in spurts. We, yep, can't necessarily ask a vet minimum guy to sort of give us everything we need. Not to hark on Joe Harris. You're getting paid $73 million, my dude, over the next 4 years. Hit, yep, a goddamn shot, make a defensive play, or at least don't hurt us so much on the other end and provide, yep, momentum for the Milwaukee Bucks when they need it and arrest it away from our team. He's hurting himself and he's hurting the team. Now, I don't want to pour it on him, because I think that he's probably going to get that enough. He's gotten that enough in a lot of the group chats that I'm in as well. But I think it's time for a little bit of tough love. You know, we, yep, sort of heard all the, he's getting all the minutes, and it's just like, I think that in a sport that I follow, the AFL, so for all the Aussie listeners out here, it's about, you know, selection integrity. So for me, in the basketball, to translate that, that's rotation integrity. Now, if you're getting minutes and not giving us anything, and you're getting 36 minutes on a basket, on a plate for you, you've got to give us something out there. Even PJ Tucker, when he's not hitting a shot for this entire series, is occasionally hitting a corner three, and is at least, you know, punching and poking Kevin Durant in the eye. So, like, do something, Joe, please. You know, I want to wear my shirt. I want to wear my Joe Harris shirt on the next pod and be proud to wear it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like you said, Jack, he's hurting the Nets in multiple aspects, and he's not the only reason they're losing games, but I think it just sticks out more because now he's higher on the totem pole, like we talked about. Kyrie out, Harden being injured. Now you look to Joe Harris to probably be your second or third best offensive player, and right now he's been your worst offensive player, which is terrible to say because, like you said, we love Joe Harris, and he's been excellent, and he's putting a ton of work to get to this spot. He's just not in it. I'm not really sure. I can't really describe it. I'm not him, but he's not playing up to expectations right now. And obviously it's really hurting the team considering how shorthanded they are. I mean, maybe you try to give Landry Shamet some confidence and start him in the next game and bench Joe Harris and make him have to earn it. But, or maybe it's kind of a situation where you play Joe a couple minutes, see if he knocks down his first three. If he doesn't, you pull him and just go from there. Because like you said, you need to provide some type of energy and spark. And even when Shamet's not knocking down a shot, at least he gives you another ball handle on the floor. But I would say he's lesser defensively and a lesser rebounder as well. So it's like, honestly, I can't believe I'm saying this, but like maybe you even consider playing Mike James more, just because like that's somebody else that could get hot. Like he'd be the type of random player that in a game seven that might just score 15 points and hit every single shot. Like he strikes me as that type of player that would have that type of game.
This is why you earn, I guess, the 2 seed, Nick. You know, you get game 7 at home. You know, yep. We might get a Mike James performance for the ages like we did in game 1. You know, random things will happen. Game 7, you know, this is where the weird and wacky does happen. And, you know, weird and wacky means Joe Harris might start to hit his threes and look like Joe Harris again. Yep. There would be no better time for it because, you know, a lot of people are throwing plenty of stuff out there. The trade machines are heating up. But I think game 7 is an occasion that is made for the Brooklyn Nets right now. You've got Barclay Center. You're wearing your black home jerseys. This is the time to go, all right, now let's bring somewhat of our A game. Let's try and, you know, initiate some sets. Let's show, you know, integrity. Let's show physicality. Yep. You know, obviously, you know, the athleticism and strength of Milwaukee is going to overwhelm you at times, but you can overwhelm that by a team cohesive effort. You know, Joe, if you aren't hitting your shots, box out like a goddamn madman. You know, he was boxing out Brook Lopez in previous games.
Yep.
You know, when his shot wasn't falling. You know, this is probably the worst game of Joe Harris's career, despite the fact that the box score doesn't necessarily show that. You know, he hit a couple of shots here and there, but I'm confident enough of the fact in game 7 on the home floor that we'll get something out of a role player, because it's when you do, Nick. It's always the home court. And we'll also get a little bit of the home whistle as well, because there were some calls tonight that I'm just like, really? Like, Giannis is just going to elbow blokes in the face and just jump over them and catch his own shots and get calls that go his way? Look, I've said this on the outlet, Nick. I'm hoping you're swaying my way now, because that dude and his bag, it's smaller than my backpack.
So I like that one, Jack. I mean, yeah, I think like the elbows from Giannis are a little aggressive, and at times he has to be punished in some way for that. Like the way he hit, you know, Jeff Green in the face, like, yeah, he had the basketball, but that doesn't give you a free pass to hit people. And like you put out the tweet, like just some of the stuff is just like running people over. There were a couple of those block calls I felt like could have been offensive fouls, maybe not charges, but to a point he's literally taking a shoulder and going through someone's chest. Like it's not a basketball play.
There was only one I remember where Jeff was just clearly moving, and he moved into him. And I'm like, okay, I get what you're going for there, Jeff, but a lot of other times you need to get the positioning first. So you're going to get charges on Giannis, I think, more so as we've seen at home throughout this series. Yep. And look, I don't want this to be a slander Giannis, slander Joe fest, and that's all I'm going to provide in my analysis, but I might, because he's easy enough to defend. I think Blake Griffin has done a quite a decent job at him, because, you know, Blake Griffin isn't going to be, you know, Ben Simmons or Matisse Thybulle in that sort of respect, but he's done a decent enough job of it. You know, Jeff Green is doing okay on him. You know, Giannis
he's
is
a little too small.
He is, and that's probably the one thing, you know, he's going to overwhelm you with, you know, the physicality and strength, you know, despite the fact that, you know, he can't move his feet, he can't shoot a jump shot, and he has no, like, less post game than Robin Lopez, let alone Brook Lopez, then I don't know what to say because, yeah, I think just continue to make life tough for him. You know, maybe put James Harden on him. Just get in his head a little bit. Look, that's obviously a pretty dumb thing.
I think one thing the Nets could do better for Giannis is, like, either let him go to work or double-team him. Like, there was too many possessions in this game where it's a lot of in-between, where it's like, okay, now I'm out of position for Chris Middleton to get an open three, or am I going to double-team on Giannis? You know what I mean? You have to create some type of decision there, and you're giving him too much time. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and, like, be disrespectful to Giannis, but there's definitely questions about his decision making.
I've already done that enough, Nick. So, yeah, you better not either.
I think there's questions about his decision making, and you force him to make a quick play instead of allowing him to kind of sit there and read the defense, in which most players are going to be able to do at a professional level, young or old, experienced or not experienced. So the Nets need to do a better job. I think overall the aggression, the energy needs to be higher right from the start. And that's something that hopefully will happen with the home fans and the home crowd and just kind of get that momentum going. And I think another issue that's kind of happening, this is kind of correlated to James Harden.
Back up that with the Giannis thing. In terms of making life tough for him, when the Nets hit their shots, it allows them to set their half-court defense.
Yep.
And that just makes things life so much easier. Whereas if Giannis is getting defensive rebounds, and he's a great rebounder, he's huge. He's massive.
And turnovers.
And turnovers, you allow Giannis to get into areas that he wants. He's in transition. He's going to use his pace. He's got stride length that is absolutely incredible. So it's about the Nets hitting their shots and, if not, getting really set in their defense. Set some sort of a wall, or you got to get KD back. You got to get Jeff back. You got to get Blake back, because if Giannis has a runway, it's over. Like, that's one area of his game where he's going to exploit you. And if he's not going to get there, he's going to hit free throws. He's not going to hit free throws. He's going to get free throws. And despite the fact that we had our loyal faithful of Brooklyn Nets fans counting out loud, shout out to those Brooklyn Nets fans out in Milwaukee. Hopefully we get the crowd nice and loud. And despite the fact that the NBA is apparently the fun police and are not allowing us to play the timer clock on him, I'm sure those fans will be nice and loud. And Mr. Whammy is going to be doing it from Barclays Center himself. So, yeah, I think the Nets need to just those are a couple of adjustments that I think can also help them in stopping the Greek no-bag freak.
I think just another thing in the Giannis thing, just like the free throw shooting thing, it's just getting to a point where it's like excessively long. And from a viewing perspective for the NBA, like, they have to consider how boring this is, that we literally have to sit there for like 30 plus seconds for every time he gets a free throw. And like, I don't care if the Nets get the ball back, but the refs need to just tell him, like, bro, you need to hurry the hell up. Like, this is just taking too long.
Scott Foster did it a little bit in game one, but Scott Foster, I mean, I don't have enough. I don't have many nice things to say about Scott Foster. But yeah, my kids, the kids that I teach are quicker figuring out palindromic numbers from 0 to 99 than Giannis is at hitting one free throw. Dribbles like six times. Like, my dude, take a lesson from Steph Curry, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, couple of dribbles, bang. It's just, it's idiotically insane right now. The he's getting a leeway, and it's just like, we've heard coaches say, we heard Steve Jabby say these sort of things. It's like, you know, I'll give them like 12 or 13 seconds or whatever. It's just like, but that's not the rule. The rule is 10 seconds. It's like, all right, I'm going to give him like defensive, like 6 seconds. It's just like, what are you talking about? Look,
I'd be petty if I was the Nets and say I want it every single time. And like, I would make a real issue about it going into game seven, because the Nets are shorthanded. They need to be petty. That's kind of where they're at right now. And talking shorthanded, getting back to James.
Chris pulled up, Nick. That's all I'll say. Chris pulled that shit up. If Giannis had an untucked jersey, Chris Paul would be talking his shit. James Harden hopefully has learned a few things from his Houston Rockets. We know he doesn't like Giannis, and we know he abused him a couple of times today. You know, and he's loud and he's communicative. You know, get that voice on, Mr. Beard.
Yeah, I mean, just have the whole Nets team that's on the floor start counting out loud. That'd be really funny. I don't think that's going to happen. But talking James Harden, I think one issue that's really hindering the Nets offensively with him is that he obviously does not have that burst. And it's taking him a long time to get across half court. And it's taking him a long time to get into sets. And then by the time you're getting the ball to X, Y, or Z, mostly Kevin Durant, you're looking at 7 seconds or less on the shot clock. And that's just putting the other team at an advantage, because now the clock is defending you, and also the Bucks defense is defending you. And it's also a good chance you're going to have to force something up at the end. So it's just like, that's an element where they need to fix. You know, maybe that's James Harden not bringing the ball up the floor. He can still run the offense, but maybe that's more Blake Griffin, Jeff Green, Joe Harris, whoever's out there. Bring the ball up, because that is really killing them, and they need to play with more pace.
Yeah, and it's a hard thing. It's a hard conundrum, I guess, because you know, James Harden with the ball in his hands is when he's at least able to display some of his prowess, even if he has been limited to a great extent. So, Nick, I just saw this stat as well, I guess, in relation to James Harden as well as Kevin Durant. Now, fun fact, James Harden and KD are undefeated in Game 7s when they don't play the Warriors. Well, we've heard us in the Bucks, so hopefully that's a good omen. But, yeah, I think in relation to Harden, I think there are things that can be done, and I think some of that has to be on, you know, James himself and being, all right, Blake, you take this one up. You know, Bruce, you take this one up. And that's why, you know, I think Bruce is... Again, maybe I'm just changing my allegiances from JH to BB. But yeah, for me, you know, Bruce Brown can provide a lot more while he's next to James as well. So it's just something. And Landry Shamet can bring the ball up too. So I think that there's a couple of little adjustments that you alluded to, Nick, that I think would be able to help this Nets team as well as help James too, even though he isn't the best off-ball player in the world. But, you know, if he gets a little bit of his floater game going like he did tonight, a couple of those, look, I'll take 15 points from James Harden on one hamstring any night of the week.
Yeah, especially in the shooting splits. You know what I mean? He was 5 of 9, 3 of 6 from 3, 3 of 5 from the free throw line. Obviously, he could shoot better there. It's just, you know, it's just tough offensively right now, and that's kind of part of the grind. And like you said, it's just like different guys. And even playing Bruce Brown, it's like, is he confident in that floater right now? We saw it get blocked by Brook Lopez tonight. So it's just like finding whatever other guard on this team wants to play well. Like, you can have all the minutes in Game 7. Just step up and do your thing, you know? And it's like, the only other player that you'd have an option to play would be a guy like Nick Claxton, but he just doesn't provide you enough offense. So, and James Harden obviously can't run the pick and roll to the same extent than he can when he's healthy. So then you just kind of get limited in what you can do out there. So it's just like you said, a conundrum for Steve Nash right now to try to just figure out the balance, especially when the offensive players that are typically offensive pluses and Joe Harris and Landry Shamet are giving you negative performances. It's hard right now. It's just really hard. And this is where you desperately miss Kyrie Irving. You miss a healthy James Harden. And this is honestly where you miss Spencer Dinwiddie. This is where, if you had Spencer right now, I feel like the Nets would have won Game 6. I feel like they would easily win Game 7. I just think they're missing that extra ball handler, that extra creator, that extra scoring option, because you know Spencer's good for 20 and 7 free throws.
Yeah, I think in saying that, this is what happens when you go all in on the superstars. And that's, you know, the cards you've been dealt.
I mean, to some extent, I think some of it, too, is just extreme bad luck, because the Nets have the three superstars, and then they have the fringe star that also tore his ACL. So it's like, how much bad luck can you possibly get?
No. The Nets, and as well as so many other teams, you know, it's Milwaukee that have been probably the luckiest team throughout this entire season, postseason. And, you know, luck comes down to winning a championship as well. And Nets are going to need a little bit of it in Game 7 if they're going to get through this series. Nick, I got a Joe Harris quote from you, from Matt Brooks. I want to hear your response. They're definitely a very... All right, stay with me. I'll respond to it as well. They're definitely a very good defensive team. They've done a good job taking stuff away. At the end of the day, I go through worse stretches in the regular season. He ends with that this cold stretch just was being at a big point in the year. Are you in favor of that, I guess, objective sort of holistic mentality, trying to sort of maintain a point of stasis about it? Or do you think Joe's like needs to own up to it and go, all right, I've been shit and I'm going to step up? Or what are your thoughts, I guess, on that response from Mr. Harris?
I mean, to some extent, it's a fair response. You know, like, he's had bad stretches during regular seasons, is not hitting shots, and he's not crediting the Bucks defense, which I think he is to an extent saying they're a good defense, but he's also missing open looks. So, I mean, part of me is like, maybe that one shot will get him out of it, or maybe he's trying to like subliminally talk to himself and be like, you know, this is just a slump and I'm going to get out of it. I'm Joe Harris. I hit these shots. This is what I do. I don't play this bad. So, maybe it's kind of trying to speak into existence type of thing, which you and I do a lot in the DM. So maybe it'll work. I'm not really sure. I don't really have a ton to say, because at the end of the day, it's not like most players are going to be extremely transparent in the situation.
No. And look, we heard Giannis sort of talk about, you know, the fact that Kevin Durant's the best player in the world, and everyone was, you know, jumping on his bandwagon and sort of jumping on his back. Sorry. And look, you know, you can take quotes out context or whatever. Ultimately, you know, words, I guess, are meaningless, Nick. You know, this is basketball. We want him to just go out there and hit the goddamn shots. Don't care if you're in a slump. You know, if you have a big Game 7 like you did in the Boston series, then all is forgiven. Maybe not all is forgiven, but a lot is forgiven.
If Joe drops 25 in Game 7, I think everyone will forget about the last four games, because that's just how it goes. Like, you can play like shit, but when it really, really matters at the end of the day, which game seven matters obviously more than everything, if he steps up, I'll gladly forget about all the bad stuff because he's will be one of the reasons they win the game.
Yeah, less than 21% over the last four games, as I sort of alluded to earlier, 5 of 24. So, look, it's a big game for Joe Harris. It's a big game for – we know Kevin Durant's going to step up. You know, he was also sort of saying, you know, that he could tell that Harden's limited offensively, but and limited his movement, sorry. So, I think that the net, there's so much going against the Nets right now that it should be the Milwaukee Bucks close things out. You know, everything is in their favor. Attack Harden, attack the lack of physicality and rim protection of the Brooklyn Nets. But the Nets have Kevin Durant, and they have a guy who's been the best shooter in the past couple of years. If he can actually prove that he is and show some semblance of form, and Nash actually plays a bit of Bruce Brown and gets those rotations right, and Jeff isn't too sore coming off the plantar fascia, then you know, there's every chance that the Nets get this win, Nick. I have no prediction. You better not ask me or else I'm going to just hang up right now because all I'm feeling right now is nerves aplenty. And I just want KD, take us home, man. Take us home.
Yeah, I think that's for the Nets. I mean, you obviously want to start and play with the right energy. Excuse me. Steve Nash kind of talked about it being stagnant and just not like playing to that playoff basketball, almost like the Nets were. Hey, you know, I'm ready for game seven. Like they kind of were taking this game as like a freebie to an extent. And the Bucks obviously played with more energy and they're just going to need to be better in the next one. So, I mean, I have faith that the Nets can win game seven because they have the best player in the series and the best player in basketball in Kevin Durant. But it really is about the other guy stepping up because as good as Kevin Durant could be, he could drop 70 points and they could still lose the game if no one else is going to play the way they need to play. And I think obviously, you can't control shooting to the highest extent. Obviously, you can get better looks, but defensively and rebounding, the energy just has to be higher. And I think the Bucks had like 20 plus fast break points. Unacceptable. You know, that's just something that can't happen in a playoff game. So all these little tiny things that you can correct could also just be enough to give you some of those small momentum swings that just throw the Bucks off. And I think, honestly, if the Nets were to start big in game seven against the Bucks, I think they could put them to sleep. But that's obviously going to be a big task because guys need to hit shots and they're just not hitting shots right now. So give me the Nets in game seven. I'm not going to be pessimistic. You know, like I said, the Nets have KD. I think guys will step up, be it Jeff Green, be it Blake Griffin, one of these old vets. I'm not really sure who it's going to be. Maybe it's Bruce Brown, Landry Shamet, Mike James. Somebody's going to step up. But Jack, even though you don't want to give us a prediction, do you have any final thoughts for game seven?
Yeah, look, I think the offense obviously needs to improve. They got only 14 assists for both teams tonight, whereas Kevin Durant almost had that by himself in game five. So I think that there needs to be a better rhythm. Now, obviously, a lot of that is just hitting shots, and maybe the Nets had probably 22, 25 potential assists if Joe hits a couple of his shots, Landry Shamet and Jeff Green hits a couple of his threes or whatever. But look, I'll give you a prediction. Nets are winning in game seven. Kevin Durant's going to drop another historic performance. I'll speak it into existence. I'll take on some of your optimism, Nick, because I need it right now.
I love it, Jack. That's what I love to hear. You heard it here first. Brooklyn Nets will win game seven. Jack, always a pleasure. Big thanks, everybody, for listening. And check the buzz on all streaming platforms.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens. And that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure four-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each four-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour four-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m., and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.